is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 589. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined today by the dynamic, the vivacious, and the effervescent Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello, Lisa.
You are listening to us, as you always do, on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This is streaming live at koop.org. And during the pandemic, folks, as always and ever, we are virtual. This is homegrown. We are pre-recorded. We will be right back.
Step out of, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
He told us to pray some, he told us to sway some, he told us the good Lord made us equal inside.
It is Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. On the show today, we have the Vortex Rep Theater and their partners, the Bottle Alley Theater, with their production of Wildcraft. And later on, we'll switch gears and we will talk to the Vortex Theater and their production, or their annual festival, Future X, or Future X. Stand by, we'll talk to you after this song. Nicole, change don't come easy.
Nope.
So it is the day after Election Day, and I'm as surprised as everybody, I think, to learn that so many people wrote in my name, and now I am the President of the United States.
It's quite a shock, but Lisa, where you weren't ready, did you your speech, everything, I felt awful. I didn't have a party for you.
I was not expecting that, but let me just tell you that I am, you can email me if you would like rides on an aircraft carrier, because I can arrange that. I do promise lots of good things, universal health care, but there will be a Broadway theater in the White House.
Okay.
So, of course, that's not happening. We are recording this on Sunday. Election Day hasn't happened. So this is Wednesday. No doubt we do not know who is elected president yet. I will be happily surprised if, as you're listening to this, you say, what are you talking about, Lisa? Of course we know who the president is. I would love that to be the case. I just don't think we will. And this is one of these wacky things about pre-recording a show.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I wish my time machine or my crystal ball or something would work. So, you know, but yes.
I'm hoping that Joe Biden, I should stop here and say that the views expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not that of Co-op, the board of directors, or its staff, but simply those views of those of us here on Offstage and On the Air. And at least one of us skews pretty damn Democratic. So I do think, I would hope that the election took place yesterday on the 3rd, that Joe Biden won by a large enough margin that there is not an easy way for it to be contested. That's my hope.
Well, we'll know right now.
We will. So weird. It's weird. We're here on a show. We're giving information to our listeners, and really, our listeners know more than us right now.
No, it's like, sorry, you know more than I do right now. So
yeah. So well, I'm just gonna send lots of stuff out to the universe that whatever's happening right now, it is positive. So I'm surprised I did not know this. And you know, there's so much going on that I don't know. Did you see this concert that happened on the 21st on YouTube? It was for Joe Biden. It was called In Our America, and it was Broadway for Biden. Did you know this?
Oh, no. I saw it in the briefing like the day after, and I was like, how did I not know? It was a big, heavy-hitting list.
Andre DeShields, Eva Noblezada, George Salazar, Laura Benanti, who they pronounce Laura Benanti, Philippa Sue, Renee Elise Goldsberry, Karen Olivo, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Jennifer Hudson, Daphne Ruben Vega, Norman Lear, John Goodman, Rita Moreno, Glenn Close. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
It goes on and on and on. And I was like, hello.
There was a lovely piece about Terrence McNally. It was like as an in memoriam piece. And they showcased, it was like an in memoriam for the award ceremonies in that they showcased lots of people and they were singing from Rent. Oh my God, what was the song from Rent that they sang? Darn it, I forgot, but it was really beautiful.
Is it Jesse Martin's song that he sang? Live in my house, I'll be your 1,000 Kisses? Is it that song?
No, it was something about somebody. It was probably after Angel died, but I can't remember. And I'm not going to worry about it, but it was beautiful. And they had a tribute to lots of people that I didn't recognize, but, you know, they were other people. But they also, of course, had...
T-Mac, as my brother likes to call him.
T-Mac. And they had... what's his name? Amanda Coots' husband.
Oh, Nick Cordero.
Nick Cordero. It was really quite beautiful. But the performance had some technical glitches, especially at the beginning. But it was really wonderful. I watched the whole thing. It was 2 hours long, and there were lots of spoken word performances from playwrights that we all know. And of course, now that I'm supposed to say them, gone out of my head. But one of them is T-Mac.
Yeah, well, Casey says he's accomplished so much, he should have a name, and T-Mac.
Well, okay, I was not arguing with you. I was actually yes-anding you. So they had all sorts of other stuff, and there were things, a song from, and you heard a little bit of it before we went on the air. It's a musical about indigenous people by Kalani Kwayupo. Oh, boy, I know I just... killed that, and it's called Missing Piece, and I put a link to it on the on our webpage offstageonair.com, and they showed a piece from that, and it is a new musical. It's a cast of 7, 5 of which are indigenous peoples.
Where is this? Is it been done anywhere or worked?
No. It's in process. Yeah. And you can see a little piece of it at the very top, or almost at the very close to the very top of the show. There was another new musical that they played, and I can't remember what it was. But it was a really lovely piece. I mean, it was pro-Biden, but even if you're not pro-Biden, you could go through and watch these performances and skip the political stuff and really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But they had Taylor Mack and John Waters had 3.
I was about to say John, when you said Taylor Mack, I was like, wait, John Waters was part of this. I remember seeing that.
Yeah. But I will say, I'm going to try to, assuming we have time, we're going to close out the whole show with this beautiful piece that closed out their show from somebody named Jennifer Hudson. And she sang Tomorrow from Annie. Just beautifully. And she sang it in an empty theater. And I don't know whether the opening number was in an empty theater and a ghost light, but it had major technical issues. So
the
it's
having the share in the stage.
Whatever you said, I'm going to nod. But there's a lot of stuff. I've been zipping through the YouTubes. Yesterday I just put in the search Broadway vote, and there's so much wonderful stuff from Broadway people encouraging people to vote and how important it is. And of course, right now we don't need to talk about that because either at this point you voted or you didn't. And I'd like to think it's the former, not the latter.
Did you see, I know it's not your favorite show, but did you see they did the Rocky Horror?
I clicked on it. I couldn't watch it. I did click on it. Who did it again? Tell folks who did that.
It was the same folks that gave it to Princess Bride. It's the Wisconsin Democratic Party. I'm like, man, they're just like pulling in some awesome live readings. And Tim Curry was a part of it. Rosario Dawson was a part of it. David Arquette.
I did see the picture of Tim Curry, who is still wheelchair bound, it appears.
Yes.
From his stroke.
Nell was a part of it. I can't think of Nell's last name, but Real Magenta. there was, I think Daphne Rubavega was part of it, Seth Green. I giggled. I watched bits and pieces of it and I truly giggled, but you know,
not my favorite show.
You've never liked that show.
I didn't.
Nice to see Tim Curry.
Yeah. Yeah. I will join you there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all the time. We're like, I wonder how is he? We don't hear from him, you know,
he never calls anymore. He used to call all the time.
What's up with that?
We talked about this show before, but there's a new one. And I apologize if people can hear my dog howling in the background, but she's practicing for her one dog show of Les Miserables, and she has to practice. I can't stop her.
I hear the songs of Angry Men.
Yep, that's what she was singing. This is a show that's led by National Yiddish Theater Folksbane. It Can't Happen Here. We talked about this a few weeks ago. They did a streamed version of it. And this is a show that, it was on October 28th. So we missed it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Yeah. It's a virtual production. It's presented at the same time in Yiddish, English, Spanish, Italian, Turkish, and Hebrew.
Whoa, that is amazing.
I know. And I don't know. It doesn't explain whether it happens simultaneously on the same Zoomy thing, or it doesn't say whether it's like you can click on different ones.
Yeah.
And It Can't Happen Here is by Sinclair Lewis, and I just want to read the description of it. The work chronicles the rise of a demagogue who is elected president of the United States after fomenting fear and promising sweeping economic and social reforms while promoting a return to patriotism and traditional values. And I should remind folks that this was from 1936.
I was just about to say, I know it was written a long time ago, but what year? 1936?
1936. And back then, it was presented simultaneously by 21 theater companies, and it was under the Works Progress Administration Federal Theater Project, which is something I think we should resurrect.
Yeah, well, I want to know more about that program.
Yeah, well, it happened on October 28th, and there will be a link to the article at offstageonair.com, and I'm guessing that folks can go in. It's available. Oh, I'm sorry, my listeners.
Why?
Nicole and I can see it because it's available through today, November 1st. But for you, my dear listeners, it's November 4th.
Well, maybe we can touch upon it again the following week and let everyone know.
Yeah. So other companies that are involved in it are Pan-Asian Rep, Repertorio Español, who I worked with back in 1980, and others. So I will remind folks that in 1980, I did a tour with Repertorio Español throughout Central and South America, where we did, amongst other shows, Zuilo Eco de Cristal.
Thank you. Glass Menagerie en Español.
Or as Mr. Nick Mayo says, Glass Meningerie.
Glass Meningerie.
But we also did the musical Los Fantásticos and La Celestina. So it's nice to know they're out there and still doing work. Here's what I want to do.
You and I will work on Rocky Das musical, and then the whole circle will be complete.
I'm not sure if you realize this or not, Nicole Shiro, but in Rocky Das musical, there was a regulation size boxing ring.
That's okay. We'll figure it out.
All right. I'm going to look through my list and see if we have any other kind of political things, and we don't. So what we're going to do now is listen to our first interview, because I'm not sure what our timing's going to be today. What do you think of that?
I say, let's do it.
All right, so we spoke to, it's a co-production with the Vortex Rep and Bottle Alley Theater, and we spoke to Chris Fontanes and Melissa Vogt in our Zoom machine, which was acting crazily.
It was.
Let's
It's 2020.
It's 2020. That's going to be the mantra. Let's listen to that interview. Nicole Shiro, don't know where the Zoom machine is taking us today.
Oh, well, I'm kind of excited. I like that it's free for all and we find out when we arrive.
I think you should drive.
Okay.
Go, start her on up and let's do it.
Oh, she's purring. Ready?
Yep, open the hatch. Oh my gosh, it is Melissa Vogt and Chris Fontanez. Hey, you guys, how are y'all?
Great, hello.
You know, I feel like I just want to say hello to you over and over and over again. When I talk to you, it's like deja vu. So, Chris, you are the founder, artistic director of Bottle Alley. Is that correct?
Yes.
And Melissa Vogt is, of course, I don't even know what your role is over there at the Vortex. You're the goddess of everything at the Vortex.
No. I'm the managing director. I am the minor deity of the Vortex.
So you manage all the directors. Nobody can direct there without getting under your thumb.
Oh boy.
We should note that you had a nice big grinny smile when you said that.
It's true.
So the Bottle Alley Theater and the Vortex are doing a co-production of Wildcraft, which is a Bottle Alley Theater company creation. Chris, tell us about it.
Sure. So Wildcraft takes the form of it's a play that takes the form of a class on green witchcraft. It is actually connected to a series of plays that we've been doing going back all the way to 2017, which revolves around eight remaining members of a coven of witches. And each of the plays is connected in some way, meaning that they're, you know, all these members are part of the same coven, but each play is supposed to take place as a standalone piece, meaning that Bottle Alley audiences who have been coming to our show since 2017 will recognize that they are all taking place in the same universe, while people who are coming and this is their first time experiencing one of these shows won't necessarily really miss anything, as each show is meant to be a standalone piece. Oh,
and this is the, cool. Yeah, it is. This is the Farm Road Coven, is it not?
Yes, that's the that was the name that we gave to these coven of witches, the last eight of them. And Wildcraft introduces us to the sixth member of this. Eventually, the goal is that we will, throughout time, we'll meet all eight, which will lead to one last show where all eight of them will kind of come together. And that will be the climax of that storyline. And that will conclude that. It's just interesting to think that we've been working on this this world and this coven going all the way back to 2017.
That's amazing. I remember. I have vague memories of that time. It seems to me that they're back in 2017. We didn't deal with masks and face shields and things like that. Most of us didn't know what Zoom was. So I'm just curious. Am I one of these witches? Because I don't know.
That would be great as like the head, the leader,
I could do it.
Lisa, for the radio listeners, is got all in her witch mode and is moving around making motions.
So this, Melissa, this is done in the grounds of the Vortex. It's done in person, not virtually.
That's right.
Where on the Vortex grounds is it taking place?
So it is taking place in the garden area behind Patrizzi's seating, which is not being used right now. We do have the butterfly bar that's open, and so that seating is kind of taken over by our physically distanced tables. But this background kind of like hidden garden, which is like the most lovely place to seat at any time, is now open and available, and we're turning it into a magical like grotto for the Wildcraft play.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I believe I experienced that during, oh my God, what was the name of that big thing that y'all did?
Oh, Performance Park?
Performance Park, yes. I believe I experienced it then. Well, that's wonderful. So what, walk me through the experience. How many, first of all, how many people, so does it just fit Nicole and I, or can we bring some people?
So right now, in order to keep it very safe, it is outdoors, so it's open air. There's only 10 tables back there. There's like a very limited amount of like two top tables. So if you're with your partner or your roommate that you're quarantining with, you can sit together. And then we've got a few more individual tables, and they're all measured out, spaced out, far apart from each other.
Great. So this is not just, I'm not going to, when I come and see it, I'm not just going to sit and listen. This is participatory, is it not, Chris?
It is. There are some interactive elements as the class, as I mentioned before, takes the form of a class about green witchcraft, but instead of just kind of lecturing to the audience about these things, what the class itself is divided into some parts which are lecture, and then some parts which are interactive, in which the audience is actually going to be participating with crafting materials and making their own spells and bottles and things to take home with them.
Like, I think one of them is black salt. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That's one of the first things that gets made, a black
salt. I want some black salt.
which gets used in... So that's actually the first thing that the audience makes, and that actually is a component that gets used in things that they make, that the audience will make later on. So they're in a way crafting their own ingredients to use later.
Don't I know it? So how long of an experience is this? Was this how long will Nicole and I spend there behind Patrizzi's enjoying Wildcraft?
The play itself is only about an hour.
That's perfect. I mean, in COVID times,
exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially for this time of year, since it is outdoors, you have to dress for the weather and be prepared for that. And we do give a little time at the top. So if you want to order a show drink and have the server bring you a show drink that you can enjoy while you're crafting your stuff, you can.
Let me just tell you something, Melissa. Who doesn't want a show drink?
I was just saying that.
So is the Butterfly Bar crafting a special cocktail for the show?
Yes, they will be. And I don't quite know what it is yet.
I'm going to call it the Wildcraft. It's going to be a mixture of rye, bitters, and simple syrup.
Well, I was going to ask, is it something you can use the black salt with? Because there's a lot of good cocktails that you can use
there
black
salt.
There you go.
Well, it's too bad.
I like it. We're wildcrafting our own cocktails right now.
And this is a one-person show. Our actor is Mickey Johnson. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
I knew it was because I have it written down.
we just thought that.
Oh,
that we've been doing in 8 months.
Wait, stop just a second. You bounced out.
Good? Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's just telling me that my internet is unstable, and I just don't think that's fair.
Okay.
So we're just talking about our performer, Mickey. Yeah. So the actor is Mickey Johnson, yes?
Yes. We've been lucky enough to work with her on our last live show, which took place, it seems like forever ago now. As well as some of our digital productions that we've been doing in the last 8 months. We thought it best during this time to limit the amount of cast and crew that we have. So the entirety of this production, as far as Bottle Alley presence that will be there in the space, it's literally just her and just me, and that's it. We've been rehearsing digitally for the past 3 months, entirely on Zoom, like so many other people have during this time. And we are just about to start our in-person rehearsals this evening, limiting it to 4 in-person rehearsals. And it's just so exciting to be performing in front of people again.
I can imagine. So tell folks when it is and how you can get information about it.
The show is a Sunday through Wednesday, starting November the 8th, and it runs for 2 weeks. And you can go to vortexrep.org to find out more info and to get tickets.
Awesome. And it is a 7 p.m. curtain.
That's correct.
Oh, what a nice time.
Yes. Now, I should say to our listeners that we are recording this on Thursday, the 29th of October. Our listeners are listening to this on Wednesday, the 4th of November. So depending on who you are or what you are either happy, sad, scared, terrified, whatever on this day. So, but this would be a really good way, no matter how you feel, to let go of reality for a while and enjoy some time out in the yards of the Vortex enjoying Wildcraft.
You can feel the electric energy of live performance again.
That's right. You can wildcraft some of your intentions into your items as you build them.
Well, that's great. Well, Nicole and I are going to jump back into the Zoom machine. This show is November 8th through 17th at 7 p.m. You can get information at vortexrep.org. You could also get information at the Bottle Alley website, I would assume. What is that, Chris?
BottleAlleyTheater.com.
Well, great. Thanks so much for joining us in the Zoom machine.
Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, Wildcraft sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, that area behind Patrizzi's is really beautiful.
I think it's kind of quite special.
It's QS.
Yes.
It's quite special. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing it. And I'm glad that they're doing stuff outside. And, you know, we're in the midst of, we're hitting another spike. Although Austin is doing okay, but it's not doing great. But compared to many other places, we're doing okay. I'm just, I know they will, because I know the Vortex really, really well. We talk every week. I know they'll be careful and they'll do what needs to be done. So it's, yeah. Let's take a break and we'll either play some music right now or we won't. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with
Lisa and Nicole.
Lisa Nicole, K-O-O-P, HD1, HD3, Hornsby. There you go. You get an extra legal ID.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, there's still so much to talk about. This is some sad news. We'll start with, start right off with sad news. And it's actually not the only one, but it's just another theater that's closing. The Westchester Broadway Theater is closing down. And it is in Elmsford, New York, in Westchester County. It's about an hour away from New York. I believe it is a dinner theater, one of the few that exist anymore. And there is still, did you know there's still a society or an association of dinner theaters? And I think there's 8 members now.
I was about to say, I don't think there's a lot of members, but yes, there is. It still exists.
Growing up in Houston in the 70s, we had Dean Goss Dinner Theater. We had 3 dinner theaters in Houston.
I remember there being a good amount. Was it really 3?
There was Dean Goss. There was the other one that I can't remember, and I think there was a third.
Have you performed dinner theater? Haven't
I
you?
Have not, and oh, I am proud I of that.
I have.
I've done a version of dinner theater. I did a show in 1976 called 1520 AD. It was a show with theater, and folks can't see on the video, but it's air quotes. But I did it for about a year.
Oh.
It was amazing. Fun. I had a great time. I was 17 years old.
I enjoyed doing it. I have to tell you, I really enjoyed doing it.
Well, I have said this, and I know that people will vociferously disagree with me, but to do both things very well, i.e. feed people and give them quality theater, costs a lot of money.
It does.
Making it, therefore, if you were to do that, the ticket price would be unapproachable. So therefore, typically, not always, typically, dinner theater had mediocre food and mediocre theater.
Yeah.
Bam, I said it. Let the letters come. Come on, bring it on like this. All right. Okay. Well, whatever.
Again, the listeners cannot see you, but you were swishing and zooming and swirling in the camera.
I was swishing and zooming. Did you hear about this thing called a new musical starring Adam Pascal called Shame?
You know, I think I saw him doing something, so maybe this is it.
So it took me a while. I feel really stupid because it's Shame, small S-H, large A, small M-E. And I said, why do they do it that way? Well, I'm not. You know, my elevator does not go all the way to the tool shed. It's the story of the Scarlet Letter.
That's so funny. I was just thinking about the Scarlet Letter in the last week, actually, because of Halloween, because Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote the Scarlet Letter while working at the customs house, which is located in Salem, Massachusetts.
There you go. So this is going to be streamed to an invited audience on November 18th and November 19th. It's written by Mark Governor. We said it's based on Nathaniel Hawthorne's Scarlet Letter. It's got in it Adam Pascal, James Snyder, Lily Cooper, Jessica Janich, and a bunch of other people that I don't know. And it is directed by Kathleen Marshall.
Interesting. What kind of choreography does one do?
Zoomography.
All about the Scarlet Letter.
I don't know. It's going to be a lot of self-flagellation.
I guess. I mean, I guess it'll be very King Kong-like. I don't know.
I think it's really interesting that Adam Pascal is playing the lead character. No, he's not. Prim. No. What's her name? Prim?
Hester.
Hester Prim. Yes, that's right. Hester. I was kidding. I don't think he's playing Hester Prim.
No, I didn't think.
But he could. Speaking of Adam Pascal, and this is just, we'll just take a hop to the left. That was a callback. Adam Pascal is in the TV series Star Trek Discovery, which has started its third season.
No, Anthony Rapp is.
As I said, Anthony Rapp is in, you know what? They're the same person. Have you ever seen them together? Yeah, I know you have. Shut up.
Starring in Rent.
I know. Okay, well, did I mention about my elevator not going all the way to the tool shed? I'm like three Big Macs short of a six pack.
Oh, I love you.
Okay. Well, speaking of really good shows that are streaming, I'm actually very excited about that. It's part of Masterpiece Theater on PBS on November 6th at 9 o'clock. I'm guessing 8 o'clock for us. One Man, Two Governors, starring James Corden, who won the...
Mm-hmm.
He not only won the Tony for that, he won the Drama Desk and the Outer Critics Circle Award for that. And folks may...
He went in London before he came over here and even did it, too.
Right. Yeah. And did he get an Olivier? I think he did. He probably did.
He did, actually.
And folks may remember that a few years back, Zach Theater did a very good production of it as well. My favorite actor in there was not the lead, unfortunately. Was it Martin? Did he play? Who was the lead? It was Martin. Martin Burke, who I love. But Amber Quick, my God, was she good
Amber
in that?
Amber was pretty darn funny. That was a really good cast. I really enjoyed that cast.
I'm looking forward to seeing this one compare and contrast.
Oh, they'll be totally different. The other thing is for Halloween, Broadway HD put on the original cast with one Angela Lansbury of Sweeney Todd.
They did, and I actually meant to go look at that. I have the honor of having walked on that set on the Broadway set. I don't remember why, but I did.
Cool.
So let's the Zoom machine is still idling from when we were using it before. So why don't we hop in it and do another interview?
Okay,
Let's do it. Here it is.
All right.
Nicole, while we're still in the Zoom machine, let's just go somewhere else, shall we?
Do I get to drive again?
Yeah, why don't you drive again?
Oh, this is exciting today. Ready?
Yep. Okay. And let's open the hatch. We're in the same place again. We're still at the vortex. What's going on? Melissa?
Surprise!
Hey, how are you? But Chris is gone.
Melissa?
And Rudy Ramirez is here. Hi, Rudy.
Hello. You're at the vortex still, but you've jumped forward in time.
But we're going to talk about your incredible third year of Future X.
Yep. Yeah.
Tell folks what Future X is just in general before we get into the specifics about what's happening this year.
In general, the Future X Festival is a celebration of new and avant-garde Latinx performance that explores the complexities, contradictions, and intersections of Latinidad. And we feature all different kinds of performing artists. We've had solo performers, full-length plays. We've had performance artists of various kinds, burlesque, improv, film, stand-up comedy, all different kinds of things over the years.
That's great. And this is in the first 2 years we're very successful, and we're carrying it on to a third year in our COVID-19 land. So it's virtual.
Yes, it's virtual. It's going to be an online interactive laberinto, which is Spanish for labyrinth.
Well, don't I know it? Speaking of that, so I just need to make sure that I'm proper. I totally Americanized Future X as a white person. Is that proper, or should we be calling it, be pronouncing it the way you just pronounced it?
I chose Futurex, which is like not a real word, so that like people can like pronounce it how, like it's I'm not necessarily like requiring Futurex as a pronunciation. I think that one of the big things that I think about with this festival is that Latinidad is not married to the Spanish language. So many people, who live in Latin American countries don't speak Spanish. They speak indigenous languages. Also, like, how do you fit Brazil in there, which is Portuguese? And so many people.
I was just about to say you got Portuguese in the middle of it all, too, right?
Yeah, and so many people who live in the United States, they don't necessarily speak Spanish fluently or at all. And so I want there to be a lot of openness to different relationships to different languages within Latinidad.
I think that's great. I mean, I know a lot of people that are of a Latinx heritage that don't speak a word, and not even they. I have a better understanding of the Spanish language than they do, which I find interesting. And people should get used to that and understand that that's a reality.
Yeah, it's something definitely true in theater. I feel like it's often a thing where people assume that if you cast a Latinx actor, that they will automatically speak Spanish. And it's like you have to make sure that they can if the role calls for Spanish speaking.
Right. When we did There and Back.
So different. The different Spanish languages can be so different. Like Argentinian Spanish has lots of different dialect and words than Mexican Spanish. And people are like, I've seen different people communicating and I'm like, oh, I had no clue. It was, I mean, I guess it makes sense with dialects, but then the words and everything too.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same way that like, there's so many like Britishisms and Australianisms and Irishisms that like we hear and we're like, what on earth are you talking about?
Well, great. Join us next week on Language and You when we start talking about the indigenous languages of Africa. So I think we figured out the language thing. Let's talk about theater, shall we? Tell us what's happening this year in Future X.
So like I said, this year we are doing an online interactive laberinto, which means that you'll be able to log on to a website at 8 p.m., much as if for folks who did the Vortex Underworld, we did the same thing. And you log in and you can click on various links. Some of them will take you to videos. Some of them will take you to Zoom rooms. We have a wide variety. We have a lot of old favorites back. Jesus Valles is doing a piece. Lily Lopez is doing panels and solo work. Ben Bazan is doing his life coaching. Siri Gurudev, who last year did a genderqueer cyborg cafe, is now doing queer Loteria tarot readings. Jessica Peña is back with her dance piece. But we're also welcoming a lot of folks from around the country who we wouldn't have been able to like bring necessarily if we'd all been doing this in person. So Nava Mao is a trans woman filmmaker and actress based in Los Angeles, and she's contributing her short film. I got to meet her when I was auditioning a show, and she's lovely and amazing. Then Eva Reyes is based in Brooklyn, although she's relocating to Austin soon. She's doing some ritual performance. We got Teatro Quarantine out of Philadelphia and the Lion 720 podcast out of LA also contributing work. And as well as even some Austin newcomers who I haven't worked with before, like Lily Gonzalez is a trans DJ, and they'll be doing a piece on DJing and trans identity.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot of performers of the queer experience. Is that what this is mostly about, or is it a broader paintbrush than that?
It's a broader paintbrush in that, well, so I chose Futurex because of like Latinx. The X in the term is there to signify, you know, people of all genders. Because like, you know, to like, since we are on Languages and You, which is my favorite radio show, you know, like the Spanish language genders a lot of its words. And so like the ending with the X is a US innovation to identify non-binary folk, and some people use it and some people don't, and some people think we should do different letters. It's a big huge deal. But so I really wanted to think about like that, you know, a lot of Latinx theater is very much telling a narrow set of stories, and I really wanted to tell a very wide range. And as a queer person myself, I wanted to have a lot of queer representation, but it's also folks talking about Afro-Latinidad, indigeneity in Latinidad. So it's thinking particularly how like when you are Latinx, that's often not the only thing that you are, you know? And so how is your Latinidad working in relation to your gender, your sexuality, your race, your class, your ethnic heritage, your language, your citizenship, all the different things.
Well, yeah, and I would argue that everybody deals with intersectionality, whether they want to or not.
Absolutely.
Unless, of course, you're a white man, and then it's different.
Yeah,
about sexually, now, even they have intersectionality. I have to tell you,
it's like they've got intersections on all the streets of money. So there you go.
That's true. Well, this is very exciting. What are the dates this year of Futurex?
They're the Fridays and Saturdays, the first 3 weeks of November. So it's the 6th and 7th, 13th and 14th, 20th and 21st.
Right. So now, November 6th, we said this when we were speaking to Melissa earlier. We're recording this on October 30th. People will be listening to this on November 4th. And your show opens November 6th. So yep. There's going to be, you know, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, there's going to be stuff to talk about on November 6th. Is Futurex taking into account anything that's happening in our country politically?
I mean, I think that all of our performers have it in our minds. I mean, I think that, you know, like we are a community that has been particularly targeted by this administration. As so time and time again, we are that like, you know, immigrants, Latinx people were so often, painted by the administration as the enemy. And again, we have a lot of folks who are sort of Afro-Latino heritage, like Florinda Bryant's gonna be performing, Christopher Gonzalez is reading a piece that she's written, thinking, so like, I am sure that a lot of the work that's happened on Black Lives Matter will be part of it as well. And again, like the fact that as queer people and as women, we're as like that, like are facing so much, even just with a Supreme Court confirmation that we've had, you know, all the things that like we're gonna have to face. So I don't know if anyone is specifically addressing it, but I really, because I think that what we want to talk about is our continued survival and our continued evolution, no matter what happens.
Yeah. And right or wrong, as a queer person, as a Latinx person, as a Black person, politics has entered our lives, you know, pretty directly, as you just mentioned.
I mean, it is bearing down on us in a way that feels very visible.
Yeah. Well, great. I'm really looking forward to the festival. I'm looking forward to 2021 festival where we could actually be there. But the long and lengthy success of FutureX is, I think, a really important thing to the Austin community, to the queer community, and of course, to the Latinx community. Where can folks go to get information about this show?
Go to vortexrep.org, I believe, /FutureX. And you'll be able to get the information there.
Awesome. Rudy, it is always great to see you.
It's always great to be here.
Yay.
Okay. Well, we're closing up the Zoom machine and going home.
Bye.
Bye. That Rudy Ramirez.
I know.
You gotta love him. And I think that the FutureX Festival is so important for Austin and Latinx performers.
I know, and I love everything he was doing and all the virtual rooms, like he called it the labyrinth. Like,
yeah, I love I. Oh, sorry. Yeah, and I think that I think he said a lot of stuff before we started recording that I wish we had recorded.
He did. I know. Well, you know what? We could talk with a lot of our guests forever, and we just don't get to put everything on.
That's true.
Outtakes at some point.
That's true. Here's a crazy thing.
What's so crazy?
I'm going to guess that you might have seen this in the failing New York Times.
Oh, what was in there?
Well, you remember those two shows in the Berkshires that Equity allowed to happen?
Oh, yes. The Godspell.
The Godspell and the one-man show that I can never remember the name of.
The one-man show that I can never remember the name of.
Well, there was a couple that retired from their house in New Jersey, Mary Chris and Alan Bassman, and they moved to the Berkshires, and they're theater goers, and they went to see these productions. They also ushered for them, and they liked them so much that they gave them $2 million. $1 million each.
$1 million.
Isn't that amazing?
That's the magic of theater.
Well, and this is, I will say this, they're such theater lovers, they're going to name their new dog Marius.
Aww.
So they are taking advantage of, and I should remind folks, especially those of you who are listening, who have resources and are doing well, this year only, due to the CARES Act that is not well advertised, but you can deduct 100% of your salary. You can give 100% of your salary and take that as a tax deduction. So
crazy.
That is an actual real thing, and that's what they're doing here. The woman in the relationship has a brother who's some mucky muck in New York, and they gave them money, and they gave them, I think, each around $600,000 unrestricted, and then they get another $300,000 or $400,000 that they need to match. But what a great gift, and this will keep them going, and I hope it happens to other theaters.
I see good things. It's like Jimmy Fallon giving the $15,000 to the comedy club here.
Yep. I don't want to mention any theaters in specific, Ground Floor Theater, but anybody that would want to like do that, Ground Floor Theater, there's so many theaters here in town, Ground Floor Theater.
I agree.
Okay, I need to say that was just a comic bit. It was not anything else. But this really warmed the cockles of my heart. And he said, one of the guys said, and I'm quoting from the article, which came from the New York Times. He said, "We're going to need this kind of art on the other side of COVID. The first day I get vaccinated and I can go to a show, I'm going. And I don't want them to not have a show." So, yeah. So Berkshire Theater Group, this is the one that did the one-man show.
The Buyer and Seller?
No, it was the one-man show that I can never remember the name of that was set to be indoors, and then they had to move outdoors. The Berkshire Theater Group, they just got permission from Equity to do Truman Capote's Holiday Memories outdoor.
Interesting.
And Barrington Stage is planning indoor events. So, wow. It's just such a great story, and I think it's really good. So the headline, this is written by Michael Paulson of the New York Times. Yes, we like the Berkshire shows. Here's $2 million.
There's the magic of theater. And seeing a live performance and hearing the swell of an orchestra, it's healing.
It is healing in so many ways. And I think that that's important. This is why it's so important when I'm going to have to get political again for our legislators to stop playing politics and start understanding that theater people are, oh my God, sorry, I'm going to just back up. And in the In Our America piece, they did this wonderful piece towards the end about performers, stage managers, writers, about being essential. And we're not considered essential.
Everybody's hunkered down at home watching all these performances, watching musicians play in their closet for you, watching theater makers make new art. I mean, what's gotten a lot of people through and brought people together.
And here's one of the things about performing in the closet. I mean, it's 2020, for God's sakes. I realize that we're getting our rights taken away, but with LGBTQ rights where they are, we should not be having to perform in the closet anymore.
Sometimes it's a better sound in there when you're making music.
The last thing I want to say before we go to break, and I don't have it written down here because I can't remember the name of it, but it was a Bye Bye Birdie thing from the Out of Work Actors Zoom thing. Did you see that?
No, I did not, but I know it. I know
the so cute. And what's his name? Played Niles Crane and was in My Fair Lady. What? Yeah, Hello, Dolly.
From Saratoga. And
anyway,
David Hyde Pierce.
He did the part. Of course, it wasn't the same words. Hey, Mrs. Gaga, that's about that. Anyway, that's it. All right. Jefferson Mays, who I saw in How to Get Away with Murder. He's doing a one-man Christmas carol, and it's going to stream for the holiday season, directed by Michael Arden.
I believe he's the perfect man to switch the characters and do the one-man.
I think we should have a split screen, three-way split with Jefferson Mays, Martin. Why did I just lose his last name?
Burke
and Bernadette Nascent doing all their Christmas carols right next to each other.
That would be kind of exciting.
Bernadette Nascent, by the way, is going to be doing her Christmas carol through Austin Playhouse, which will be streamed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be recorded at Ground Floor Theater because Austin Playhouse doesn't have the use of their theater during the shutdown. Because it is owned by, it is run by ACC, which has all sorts of crazy rules. Keeping on the local thing, this is something you know because you do PR for this group. Broadway Across America officially talked about the season, the amended season. And I'm really sad to announce that three shows, Tootsie, To Kill a Mockingbird, and Mean Girls, have been postponed. I kind of translate that to canceled.
It's just scheduling and dates at this point.
Right. It will not be this season. It will not be this year. So what's on the schedule starts in June and it's Hadestown, which I'm very happy about.
You'd rather have Mean Girls in Hadestown or Tootsie than Hadestown?
No, I wanted the whole season.
I know. The whole season is a good season. It's a good season.
You're going to disagree with me on this, but I would rather have any of those than the Donner Summer musical.
You
I would almost like to have any of those than Charlie and Chocolate Factory. I certainly would rather have any of those than Wicked.
Wicked is very near and dear to a lot of people, and
I love Wicked. I love Wicked. It's just
but it's kind of like that's some people love seeing it 500 times.
I know. I'm not, and I am too. I do enjoy the show. I like the show. I love watching it. But to get a chance to see Mean Girls, you saw Mean Girls, didn't you?
I did.
Well, we have done it, Nicole Shiro. We have done a whole show once again.
Another one.
Again, I will remind folks, we are recording this on Sunday. We do not know what world you're living in as you listen to this.
People don't know either. Right.
It will invariably be different. You'll either be in limbo or big changes are coming. We will see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air in a new world.